Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again in the middle of the mitten from the Black Diamond Group mothership in a beautiful green field with my good friend Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle. Craig, once again, we're in the field.
Nutrient-filled green field, mind you. It's crazy.
Beautiful day, beautiful week, beautiful weekend. I'm always stoked to be broadcasting from the mothership. People want to know, is it really a mothership? It is the Black Diamond Group mothership. We're ready to just take off.
Oh, yeah. This is the big deal. This is the big deal right here.
Speaking of mother and ships, we are a law show. I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt, and you are my producer, editor, program director extraordinaire, and you're on 5 days a week, including Saturday on 98.5 UPS from?
6 to 10.
6 to 10.
That's right.
Do a great job. I recommend everyone tune in if you have not yet heard Craig's show.
Unless you listen to Cartman on Rock 105 and 95.5, you can listen to that too.
Absolutely. Now,
that's allowed.
We're talking about the mothership.
Yes.
And we do have a lot of law to get to today.
I know you do.
And we have a special guest.
Which is going to be wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome. We'll announce that he'll be here in a moment. We're not sure if he's going to make it.
All right.
So we're hoping. We're going to get a text. But we're talking about the mothership, which reminds me of something that I'm stuck on right now.
Would this be your mother?
No, I love my mother. Happy birthday to my mother last week.
That's right.
So my mother had a birthday. Got to love your mothers and fathers. But for whatever reason, on my smartphone,
okay,
I have a Google app. According to which stories and which news sites I have visited, they will appear on a regular basis when I go to Google.
Sure.
For whatever reason, I must have hit discovery.com and other planetary channels because I've been reading stories about how there's this massive black hole in the sun.
Yeah.
How, you know, the Earth is warming up and this is happening out in outer space. And, you know, there's been 5 extinctions since the beginning of time. I'm a little nervous right now about what's going on in the universe. Should I be worried about the universe or should I just keep going about my day?
Just keep going. And I'm going to tell you why.
But I'm concerned. Maybe I should stop reading these stories.
Well, part of it is, you know, the Earth has been around for millions of years and these things ebb and flow and this stuff happens all the time. We've only been organized for 2-3,000 years of all of this. So like up in the Antarctic, there was the big iceberg that split. It split. And then they said that hasn't happened in hundreds of thousands of years.
Craig.
But that is just a natural part of progression. That's just
Craig. The dinosaurs didn't see the extinction coming either.
No.
The point is I need to turn off the telly. Stop reading articles. I don't want to know what's going on in the atmosphere.
What are you, from England? Turn off the telly?
When I'm on holiday, I watch the telly. I listen.
Are you traveling around with your mobile?
I'm calling hello, bloke. Hello, Mike.
Hello, matey.
Don't ever, by the way, this is a no-no for all the listeners out there. if you come in contact or have someone you know or you meet someone out in public who's from England, don't misconfuse them with someone from Australia or New Zealand. Or if they're a Kiwi from New Zealand, don't say, hey, are you from Australia? They don't like it.
And on top of it, if you do a really bad English accent and you happen to meet somebody from England, don't do your English accent because they don't like that at all. They're not fans of it whatsoever.
Totally agree with that. And I have a number of friends who are engineers from England, Australia, New Zealand. They call themselves Kiwis.
Yes, they do.
But your recommendation is, and a good recommendation, is that I, Attorney Todd L. Levitt, should stop reading about interplanetary issues like asteroids. I don't know. I've never been on this kick before. And then I saw the thing about the sun. And now you reminded me about, you know, the Antarctic, this big thing that broke off. They say that Florida in 2100 is going to be underwater.
Yeah, but you know what? But here's the other part of this. This is 2017. Where are you going to be in 2100?
On the mothership, baby.
That's right.
I'm going to be in the mothership.
And so will I. But there's the point. We're not going to be around to see Florida fall off.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well,
you know, I'm just saying. No, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Craig, I have another issue to talk about. Maybe a complaint. I don't know if it's an issue. We are a law show and we have a lot to get to.
Thank God.
We have a special guest in studio.
Okay.
And we have another special guest we're going to want to announce because he's coming to the show this morning.
This is a guest-laden show.
My good friend, Brandon McQueen,
okay,
will be coming on the show.
All right.
Brandon's en route. He's on his planetary route to make it here to the mothership.
I don't even know what that means.
I have no idea.
I'm good with it, though.
And my dear friend, I call her Snowbird. Her name is Chrissy Snow. She's in studio today. And maybe we can get her on the mic.
Maybe. Now, Chrissy Snow?
Chrissy Snow.
I'm sure she's never heard that, you know, there is somebody else that has the name of Chrissy Snow.
Why? Do you know someone?
Well, Suzanne Summers' character on Three's Company was named Chrissy Snow.
I had no idea.
What?
I only had her poster. I never watched the show.
Well.
Hold
but
on.
She went by Chrissy.
Chrissy wants to come on the show.
Yeah, she does.
Chrissy, what?
Yeah, she was.
Chrissy, they can hear you. Come here. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. So how long have you and I known each other?
30 years. Long, long time.
That's crazy.
Long time.
That's crazy. So you know what's sad is the last time that you saw Todd, I was just starting at Central.
Way to make me feel old.
I know. I feel old too, so that's no big deal. Okay. Chrissy Snow, were you named after the TV character? Were you?
You know what? I might have been. My brother named me, so my parents.
Really?
It shows the love. Yeah, they let a 3-year-old name me, so maybe. I might have been.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. You were a sorority girl, were you? What sorority were you in?
I was a Zeta Tau Alpha. I am a Zeta Tau Alpha. Zeta, you're always a Zeta. I am a Zeta Tau Alpha from CMU.
Sweet.
Yeah. And Double D.
And
yeah.
He was a Zig Up.
He's always a Zig Up, for sure.
See, I was now
forgotten on campus, I hear. Sad, remorseful, but.
Sorry, Todd.
We're going to try and resurrect him. I hear rumors of homecoming and resurrection.
Zig Ups were kicked off Central's campus in 1999, banned for life. We're the only fraternity in the history of Central Michigan University banned for life. And you know,
this tells me a lot about you, Todd. I'm not going to lie.
But my dear friend Chrissy, I invited Chrissy to come to the show.
Okay.
Knowing that she was in the area and going to be in the area. And we haven't spoken in years. We communicated due to a close friend and fraternity brother of mine, Scratty Mac McDonald, passing away. And so then a lot of us, unfortunately, the wrong reason, reconnected with one another. But I do want to get to a complaint.
Okay.
Now, last week, I happened to be visiting a relative.
All right.
And this relative was babysitting two young children. During this time, it was lunchtime, I was over during lunch, this individual was reading a book to these two little kids.
Okay.
And I was so taken back by the amount of inflection, the emotion put into reading the story, the enthusiasm.
Character voices?
No character voices, but just the enthusiasm. And okay. I came to realize that when I was a kid, I used to have a babysitter for years when my sister and I were younger, and our babysitter would read to us in complete monotone. There was no emotion when I was a kid to anything. Little Red Riot, and it was a female, you know, babysitting us. little, I can't do a female voice, but it was Little Red Riding Hood went into the forest, as opposed to Little Red Riding Hood grabbed her, you know, hood and went out into the forest. My childhood was filled with such depressing story time. This is a true story. I never knew that inflection and emotion was put into this Goodnight Moon book that was being read at this place I arrived at.
Now, first place, Goodnight Moon.
I'm just saying,
awesome
I have
book.
A complaint. I need to awesome. Talk to my family about this and my
yeah,
sister.
Because look how you turned out after having monotone read to you.
No, do you follow me on this,
oh,
folks?
I totally follow you.
If you're going to read a book to a young child, put some emotion to it. I got no emotion in these story time growing up. Nothing.
And look how you turned out.
Nothing.
Look how you turned out, though. You are one of the most animated people, one of the most right there in front of you people that I know, even with monotone. Think if you would have been read to creatively, you'd be bouncing off the walls more than you already are right now.
The Three Little Pigs. The Three Little Pigs. Not... There were three cute little pigs. I got no emotion in story time. Chrissy, what about you? I mean, you're a mom, a great mom. When you were a young child, how was your story time from your family?
Well, I'm going to go back to the fact that my brother named me, so I wasn't really fully loved as I think. I don't I don't even know that I had stories read to me that I can recall. However, as a mom... As a teacher, I have read with emotion and inflection, not only to my own child, but to all my students. Powerful, needed, can't irreplaceable.
You do realize you just left Todd speechless, and that never happens.
I did.
Ever, ever. You did. You did great.
Does that mean I'm hired?
You are.
Sweet.
You are now the new host of the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
And if you're just tuning in, we're joined in studio from one of my dear friends back in the CMU Fire Up Chips 911 Knicks days, Chrissy Snow. I call her Snowbird. I've always called her Snowbird because Snowbird. She just popped in. I heard she was in the area. We invited her to the studio. Brandon McQueen is due to appear here shortly, so we're going to have Brandon on the show. Miss Snow will stick around.
Right.
We have a lot of information to get to. We have a story about all the weed in Nevada is gone.
Oh.
We talked about this last week. All the weed in Nevada is gone.
That's not good.
And a lot of other interesting information in regards to law and otherwise to get to right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Craig, is it break time?
It is break time.
And when we come back from break, we're going to continue this conversation with Chrissy. Hopefully Brandon will be in studio shortly. And a lot of law right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the mothership in the middle of the mitten on three Black Diamond Group sister stations, 98.5 UPS.
Also, Rock 95.5 and 105 out of Sheboygan and Traverse City.
Podcasting, it's free, folks, if you miss any part of the show, and we say it each and every week, and people do appreciate that because we've seen the numbers go up on the downloads.
Right.
You can catch this show on podbean.com. It's free. Just go to Podbean. You can download the app and type in the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. iTunes, SoundCloud,
Google Play,
and Radio FM.
That's right.
So we're on five different podcast platforms right
all
now.
All over the place.
No, it's kind of.
You can't escape the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
I like getting calls from individuals all over the country. It's just really exciting.
Which, by the way, a couple weeks ago, we got a text into the radio station. Somebody wanted to know about our Adult Red Rover League. They thought it was great. Yeah, that would be a great idea.
Yeah, that was a great. We talked about Red Rover being just a dangerous game to play at any age, and then we talked about can you just see an adult Red Rover League? I mean, people would just be jumping in the air like the WWE. It would be gnarly. It'd be out of control.
You would change your expertise of law to personal injury at that point. You'd be doing great.
But Craig, all the weed in Nevada is almost gone.
How is that possible?
The governor declares a state of emergency. What? Yeah.
Is this a true story?
No, this is a true.
How can that be true?
This is a true story. I mean, Nevada, as we talked about last week, just legalized cannabis, and we were talking how people were lined out the doors, and there was people everywhere. People must have been flooding in from all over the country or the region. But California has it.
Did they not anticipate?
Colorado.
I mean, they had to anticipate that this was going to happen. A lot of people come to Las Vegas. Did they not think about the people who are coming to Las Vegas, who don't live there, who would be wanting to partake in that?
But the tax benefits right now from the sales of cannabis from legal weed is unreal. We all know it's a billion-dollar industry. Colorado, the school system in Colorado, $300 million boost.
Wow.
To the school system, $300 million boost. That's amazing. And Michigan also, it's my understanding, I can't state specifics. Brandon, we're going to ask Brandon when he gets here in regards to the funds from the marijuana fund that Michigan has created, how much will be going to schools. Chrissy Snow's in studio, Snowbird. She's a teacher.
I know. So I would like to ask her. She probably, what does she think? The state of Michigan, even if it was just half of $300 million, maybe it was $150 million got pumped into the Michigan school system. What would that do?
All right. Well, first of all, I'm in the private sector, so this doesn't really apply to me. But given the fact that I live outside of the suburbs of Detroit, Detroit would be a school system that could greatly benefit from funding from the state, from any source of income.
Yeah, because the lottery is supposed to do that. The lottery is supposed to be, but it seems like it doesn't happen much. I mean, I know they give the money, but they always say, the lottery generated $800 million for the school systems. Well, how come there's a bunch of schools still closing, and how come there's still a bunch of students who aren't getting the proper attention and the proper schooling that they need?
The struggle is real. It's absolutely true. I don't know where they go or how they justify it, but it definitely doesn't seem to be going in through the proper channels and to the proper sources. So I say preach, give it to the school systems.
Yeah, well, I mean, because you always talk about a business being a billion-dollar industry. Oh, the personal health care is a billion-dollar industry. Well, all that billions of dollars usually goes in somebody's pocket. This being a billion-dollar industry, this could go for good. This will go to people who in the need of, students and things like that.
Well, the state has allocated a breakdown percentage-wise as to where the funds in the marijuana fund will be allocated. And we'll talk to Brandon about that also. But back to Reno for a moment here.
Okay.
In the first 3 days of legalization, it's estimated that the state of Nevada brought in $1 million in taxes from weed sales. I don't like calling it weed. I call it cannabis. Most of which will be going to help, according to some sources, the state's education system. As a whole, statistically, that I looked up, dispensaries raked in over $3 million in the first week in Nevada. One dispensary in Reno is said to have made $100,000 in the first 24 hours.
That's crazy.
So it's going gangbusters in Nevada. And there's enough local communities, small towns that are bankrupt. There's communities that can't fix their bridges. They can't fund the local firefighters, law enforcement, school. I mean, there's just not enough money. The state government may not be helping. They're not receiving grant money from the state and federal level. Cannabis will help your community. I would recommend to every board member out there, every council member in the state of Michigan, because that's where we're located here, to seriously adopt ordinances that comply with the state statute and allow men and women to come into your community or those who already live there and open up dispensaries, allow them to cultivate, to process, to provide medicine to those in the surrounding communities as well as yours. There will be revenue. It's going rec in 2018. Why would you want to miss out on it? I mean, those people, there's some naysayers out there. Are the naysayers, are they going to put up the money to fix the roads? Are they going to put up the money to fix the pipes? Are they going to, put up the money to help the local education system? Where's it going to come from? It's got to come from somewhere. If you're a small populated community or township or county, why would you be against something like this? You're not against alcohol. You're not against prescription pharmaceuticals that are being sold at all these box stores. What are you so against? Because the government said 100 years ago, it's illegal. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried it for medicine? You're so against something because you grew up knowing that it was wrong. What is so wrong about it? You know, they say, oh, it's a gateway drug. Have you spoken to somebody, the majority of you who are against it, to individuals who are addicted to methadone, to other serious drugs, opiates? How did they get started? I'm just saying out there, we're talking about revenue to your community. Why would you not want the revenue? That's what I'm here to say. And a lot of communities, Augrey just opted in. Congratulations to Augrey for opting in. Kalkaska opted in.
All these places can hear us, so they're hearing you talking.
Bay County, I believe there's communities looking to opt in. Ann Arbor, Lansing, to the west, to the north. In the UP, they're opting in. Communities are getting aboard. They're smart. They want the revenue. And look, if you go to a community and they don't want the revenue, people will go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go somewhere else. This is a booming industry. And you have a right, if you live in a particular community and you're not happy with your elected official because they refuse to opt into the act, then run for their position. You could opt in later on. It's going wreck in 2018.
Or vote for somebody who you agree with who is into that.
Kid Rock going for the Senate. You know, I mean, he would vote it in too. But to your point, I just have to tell you, as a mom of a 18-year-old, this is deep in my wheelhouse. And I sit on learning curve with this, both sides of the fence. So through my history, I have learned that the whole reason for the paranoia of our generation, because let's be honest, in 2020 or 2018, what you say, these kids are voting it in, so it's happening. And I have done my investigation and my personal research. It has shifted my mind into the benefits as far as this, as I am more of a Eastern natural kind of medicine versus the Western controlled by our government mindset.
Very well said, and listeners appreciate the opinion because you are a mother, you're an education, and that's awesome information. Oh yeah, you're listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We come to each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on 98.5 UPS.
On Rock 105 and Rock 95.5 out of Traverse City in Sheboygan.
We're talking with my good friend, my producer, my co-star on the show, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle. We're joined in studio. We were surprised by my friend from college. I'm my childhood friend. She was a Zeta Tau Alpha. She is a Zeta Tau Alpha. Once a Zeta, always a Zeta. I'm a Sig Epp, always a Sig Epp. And our sorority and fraternity were always very close here at CMU Fire Up Chips. She was in the area and we invited her. I said, hey, next time you're in the area, stop in. You know how you say that to people?
Sure.
And she did. And that's how she rolls. And I'm glad to have her in studio. Brandon McQueen is on his way. So Brandon McQueen will be here shortly also to join the conversation.
Now, her name's Chrissy Snow, and Chrissy Snow was on Three's Company. So have you talked to Janet lately?
I'm sorry. No, but my son's name is Jack.
Get out of here! No way!
True
That's
story.
That's crazy.
True story.
That is crazy, yeah. And nutty.
No, Mr. or Mrs. Roper either, but oh, you know, good. You can let it live. It's okay.
Probably
it's all good. Yeah.
Probably a good thing.
It is. I kind of like it.
Did you plan that? Did you plan? Come on.
I didn't, but how funny is that? Jack's a solid name. Like, you don't, I mean, it's just Jack. It's not John or any, it's just.
It's Jack.
I'm Jack.
Well, so. You're not Jack. Your son's Jack.
Yeah, but when he introduces himself, yeah.
Strong, firm handshake. I'm Jack.
Looks in the eye. Yeah, it's all good. Raise him right. He's out doing his thing right now, learning about life. And
good. That's good. And you taught him well.
I hope so. We're going to find out. We're going to find out.
Sooner than
I think
later.
So. I think so. Yeah.
The main thing is when he was growing up, you used a lot of inflection and story time. Unlike my childhood, where I had just when it was story time for Todd L. Levitt, it was all monotone. Can you imagine like Goodnight Moon read to me when I was a kid? It would be like this. Goodnight Moon, the cow jumped over the moon.
Was your babysitter like East German or something like that? I mean, who
it was
reads
a
like
it was
that?
A relative, and she listens to the show, and she knows who I'm talking about. My sister knows who I'm talking about. There was no inflection. Last week, I was at a relative's house. She was babysitting, and she was just there was a lot of inflection that was put forth in the story time to these little kids. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute, I never got story time like that. I mean, I was no wonder. Hey, we got to go to break, but yes. When we come back from break here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, Brandon McQueen is going to join the show. Brandon's a good friend of mine. If you don't know who Brandon is, we'll have him tell the listeners a little bit about himself. But People v. McQueen is a landmark case in Michigan. People v. McQueen. What a cool name, Snow McQueen. I mean, two cool names. We got Russell and Levitt, nothing.
Not even close.
But McQueen?
Yeah.
Come on. Really? Steve
well,
McQueen?
You think of Steve McQueen. That's exactly
But just McQueen. Hey, Queen. What's up, Queen? What's up, McQueen? Just a great name. I want to be McLevitt. After break. Hey, by the way, we're kicking it today with 3 days grace, Animal I Have Become. 3 days grace is just bringing us back from break and started the show. I love 3 days grace right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show. We'll be right back. No one will ever change this. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with 3 days grace, Animal I Have Become. Craig Russell, I love 3 days grace.
I know you do.
It was between that and Skillet this week.
You went with 3 days grace.
Yeah, but I love Skillet.
Could have done either one.
We might be just rocking and socking, turning and burning Skillet. Next week right here on Todd's Rock Block on 985, Rock 105, 95.5, but we're a law show. In studio, together with Craig Russell, Chrissy Snow, and... Once again, back in the mothership in this beautiful green, nutrient-filled field, Brandon McQueen's in the studio. Let's welcome Brandon back to the show. Brandon McQueen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Todd. I'm glad to be here.
Brandon, since you were last on the show, we're now on two sister stations in 98.5 out of Traverse City, Petoskey, Sheboygan, and all the way into the UP. So, you were part of a landmark case at the Michigan Supreme Court. Can you just give a little bit of background about that real quick?
Yeah, in 2011, we opened up a medical marijuana dispensary May 1st here in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. At first, we received a cease and desist letter from a county prosecutor. We went to circuit court, and we won there. Then it was appealed to the appeals court, and we lost there, and then we had to shut down. We appealed it to the Supreme Court, and that's the ruling, the McQueen versus the people, and I call that a 50% win. We had to shut down, but it clarified some gray areas in the law that was important to know the truth.
Absolutely, and you've always been an advocate. You pushed petitions behind the MI legalized cause over the last couple years.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in 2014, we did a local one here in legalized recreational marijuana up to an ounce for people 21 and older here in the city limits of Mount Pleasant. And then recently, Mount Pleasant City created an ad hoc committee to see if we wanted to opt in to the new medical marijuana licensing law. And we've met 7 or 8 times. Wednesday night was our last meeting. The recommendation is on its way to the city, and I look forward to when they take it up. We were charged with deciding if the city wanted to opt in the first place, which there was overwhelming support for that. And then we needed to decide which of the 5 tiers that we were going to have around here in Mount Pleasant. The 5 tiers are growing, processing, dispensing, testing, and secure transport. And we decided to allow all of them besides dispensaries, the provisioning centers, are going to be zoned into industrial zoning. And then dispensaries are allowed to be in commercial zoning. But we got to keep in mind that we were an ad hoc committee and we were coming up with recommendations to give to the city. Nothing we did was final or had any authority. We're just giving the city recommendations based on what the community of Mount Pleasant said they want.
Now, we were talking with Chrissy Snow, who's in the studio. I think she has a couple of questions for you, as does Craig Russell. But we were mentioning in one of the previous segments that in Nevada, which just legalized cannabis, the governor declared a state of emergency because they're running out of it. That's incredible. And I think that's a positive sign, actually. Not that people can't get their medicine or enjoy what is legal. I always tell the listeners in 2018, I feel it's going wreck in Michigan. You have a lot of insight and information. What's your opinion on that?
There's a national group called the Marijuana Policy Project. They are the people who funded and spearheaded the Medical Marijuana Act back in 2008. They're the one who collected the signatures and got it on the ballot. In 2016, a Michigan grassroots coalition did their own ballot initiative, and we're as close as anyone has ever come. The only reason we weren't on the ballot was because of a lawsuit that kept us off. But when they did that in 2016, they had no outside help. We had to raise all the money for ourselves, and we started with zero. So the Marijuana Policy Project people and the MI Legalized people have teamed up this year, and they're out collecting signatures right now. They released a press release that they've gotten over 100,000. And the big deal here is because of the Medical Marijuana Policy or the Marijuana Policy Project being part of this, they have the money day one to pay to collect signatures. So my experience is when people pay for signatures, it generally gets on the ballot. Doesn't mean it passes. Usually it doesn't pass, to be honest. But if they pay for signatures, it gets on the ballot. And I think if this gets on the ballot, it will pass.
Jeff Irwin. We both know Jeff Irwin. And Jeff Irwin is also behind. Is he part of that coalition?
He is. He's one of the main people part of the coalitions.
All right. So, Brandon, can you tell us about the money breakdown per the marijuana fund?
Part 6 of the Medical Facility Licensing Act breaks down to where the tax monies are going to go. 25% is earmarked to municipalities in which marijuana facilities are located. 30% is earmarked to the county. Another 5% is earmarked to the county, but that 5% can only be spent on the sheriff's budget. And then they earmark the other 30% for the general fund. And then I believe that leaves 10% left, which go to the Michigan Commission on Law Enforcement Standards for training local law enforcement officers, and 5% to the Department of State Police.
So now I'm going to ask you a question, Brandon. Do you think because a good chunk of that tax money goes to law enforcement and training for law enforcement, that do you see where I'm kind of going with this? Do you think that's going to make it an easier sell to people who might be against it to begin with, people who are very law enforcement pro that area?
The group that came in and is pushing this ballot initiative, they're professionals. They know what they're doing. They've done their fair share of polling. And as a matter of fact, there was a lot of contested language when this first started, because there was the corporate group coming in with the grassroots group, and they had to negotiate on exactly what the language was. And the corporate group, that's been their main point the whole time, is we're putting money behind this, it's got to pass. So we're not going to do anything that is going to jeopardize it passing or not. So absolutely, one of the worries that people have is that this will bring more burden on law enforcement officers, and so therefore they're including money to counteract that burden. Whether that's the truth or not is still yet to be seen, though.
It's kind of, that's the appearance of it, though.
Right, and if that's what it takes to help get it passed, then that's what these people are going to do.
Hey, we're joined in studio this morning on the Todd I Love It Law Show with Craig Russell, Brandon McQueen, my good friend from Mount Pleasant, Michigan, and Chrissy Snow. Brandon, as I travel the state, I go to township meetings, I consult with township supervisors, I appear at meetings, I answer questions, I get a couple pushbacks. One, that it's going to increase crime to our community. Number two, it's a gateway drug. And the third is the kids. And here's one of my responses. And look, people are entitled to their opinions. I don't criticize anyone for their position. It does not have to always agree with my position. I'm a defense attorney, for God's sakes. But in regards to cannabis, it starts in the home. If you're a parent and you're having a graduation party, a Christmas party, a family gathering, do you leave alcohol open all over the house, all over the party, where there's young kids running around? Do you know whether or not your young kids are stealing that alcohol, that wine? You want to know how many times I have seen it personally, or when I was younger, privy to that with my cousins? So if you're a parent and you're concerned about cannabis and your children, Well, obviously, it starts in the home. But number two, your children are going to go out there in the world and they're going to have, you know, friends. They're going to be socialized. They're going to have different experiences. Just be a good parent and educate your kids. But if you're a parent, you know, you have to ask yourself, how am I parenting? And I just feel it starts in the home. I mean, I'm a gun owner. I'm a Second Amendment guy. I don't leave a 12 gauge or an AR loaded on my table when there's a whole bunch of people over. It's responsibility. But it goes back to alcohol. How many of you who are against cannabis drink every day, drink at night, drink after work, drink and drive, or go to parties and leave alcohol all over the house when there's young kids walking around?
Well, no, I agree with that. You kind of took it from the marijuana issue to just a parenting issue in general, which is something that I talk about from time to time, is we don't, as a society, we never really agreed on how we're going to educate our children when it comes to substances. Parents don't generally talk to their kids with substances other than to say, don't do it. But we all know that that's not reality. And so what happens is you have kids finding out for themselves how to drink and how to handle substances, and they're waking up in the middle of the night in a cornfield from time to time. Like, I had some friends that happened to. And I think that if they had a conversation with their parents at a young age and there was more education to it, not just you're not allowed to drink, but obviously you're going to someday, go do it with your friends and hide it behind their back and don't tell anybody and make the situation as dangerous as you can possibly make it. And that's an issue. But when it comes to the marijuana in particular, the three issues they brought up, crime goes up. What crime goes up? I'll tell you right now, the only people in most communities around the state of Michigan who don't have access to marijuana are the medical patients who are in the most dire need for it. For the most part, anybody else who wants marijuana, they know where to get it, and it is not an issue. So if anything, these dispensaries and the regulations that are coming in are so strict that it's actually going to stop people from getting it who aren't supposed to have it. So this idea that crime will come up, there's no evidence to support that at all. The second thing, the gateway drug, once again, there's no evidence to support that either. As a matter of fact, if you look at the science, it's suggesting that it's an exit drug, that people who are addicted to alcohol or people who are addicted to opiates can use marijuana to exit out of their addiction. And marijuana is just undeniably more safe than alcohol or opiates. And then when it comes to the children, what I got to say is, personal responsibility. I will be right behind everybody. Let's make a law that says if you supply drugs, alcohol to a minor, that you go to jail. Mandatory. That's the one law there should be mandatory minimums on, because it's not okay to be giving anybody's kids any substance ever. And I'll tell you right now, liquor store owners, maybe their employees every once in a while make a mistake and sell alcohol to a minor, but the owner of that store would never risk his license to get an extra $5 off a bottle of liquor that they sold to a minor. And it's not going to happen in the marijuana industry either. No one's going to want to risk their license so they can get an extra $5 off a sale to a minor. So I don't think any of those are realistic concerns.
Great information and a great opinion. I totally agree. We've got to take a break. We'll be back on the Todd Love It Law Show with Chrissy Snow and with Brandon coming back. No one will ever change the set of Mariah.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Joined in studio, Chrissy Snow, Fire Up Chips, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle, 5 days a week, including Saturday,
which is 6 days a week, 6 to 10.
And my good friend, Brandon McQueen, who's been on the show for years. If you're just tuning in for the first time and miss any part of this show, catch us on iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud, and all these other platforms we're podcasting. And it's been a great show so far. Really appreciate Brandon taking his time to be here. He has so much information. Look up the case People v. McQueen, state of Michigan. It's a interesting case. Chrissy, you had a question for Brandon.
I'm going to piggyback off of what Brandon was talking about with the parent piece, because that's in my wheelhouse and in my existence right now. So number one, kind of going back, first of all, we are all bred on fear as parents, because that's how we were raised, and we talked a little bit about that earlier. To your piece about the alcohol and the drugs, that is all about awareness. So if you speak openly with your children and you bring the awareness into this, it gives them a great platform and a foundation to help them understand it. The more you restrict things, as we all know, I woke up in a few cornfields myself, being a Central Michigan Chippewa. There are plenty of them here. But the more you restrict things and you keep it hidden in the dark, the more elusive and attractive it becomes to the kids. So having the open conversations with your kids and explaining all of the things with them. These kids are raised, I know because I have one, on the Google, the internet. They're going to go out and research it themselves and make their opinion. It's just the way that this world is going and the way that it works. So you were also, Brandon, talking about something when we did restrict it. And I, it's funny because you talked about the accessibility of it. And it's hilarious because you can order these things on Amazon. I mean, and so you're getting these questionable things coming directly in your mail that you have no idea what their batch number is or anything of that nature. It's just like going down like to the dark sides and the alleyways versus having a dispensary where you know where it comes from, where there's a batch number, where there's information and you know everything that you want to know. And then the other point I wrote down here that I want to talk about was the prescription drugs versus the marijuana. I mean, so if you talk about accessibility, and Todd, you talked about alcohol being, you know, open and easy. These prescription drugs, that is a real thing. And it is far, far, far worse than the medicinal medical marijuana or whatever you want to slap the label of it on. It's real. And if you ask, being in education and as a teenager, if you were to go around and you were to ask kids, and we'll take middle school, if they do drugs, they will tell you, no, I don't do drugs. And then you ask them, do you take Adderall? They're like, well, yeah, I do. They think of it like Advil. It is something, they don't recognize it as a prescription drug, and it is unbelievably deadly for them. And so there are these parents who are putting their kids on ADD medication and thinking, oh, it's okay. But then these kids on the ADD medication are giving them to other kids who aren't on it, and it's far worse. So if you have this kind of supply and awareness, and these parents can do the same research that these kids are doing and kind of understand and appease their fear, I think it's all going to come together a little bit better.
Well, and I think our generation as well, because I know what you're talking about. Your parents never talked to you about things like this.
Dare.
Exactly. Yeah, you had to learn it from some other place, because parents in our generation, and, you know, I think we're all in about the same age. I think possibly Brandon's a little younger than us. Just a hair. But for the most part, in our generation, parents never taught you. They pushed it off on other people. Dare or TV shows. And now kids are smart, and they've always been smart, and they pick up on this stuff, and the internet is teaching them. So you might as well have that open, honest conversation with them, because then they're going to know where you stand, and then they can make their own decisions one way or the other, and at least you know what's going on, as opposed to being in the dark and it's something that they're doing, like you said, in a back alley or something.
Absolutely. And it also breeds conversation, I mean, which yep. is something that's becoming scarce and rare. So that if I have a differing opinion than my son, I mean, I have had conversations where we've been on opposite polar sides, and then he has stimulated curiosity in me where I have gone out and done my research, and vice versa. So we've both kind of expanded and enhanced our relationship and our knowledge base.
What do you say about that, Brandon?
Well, when we're talking about this situation, I think we need to bring in addiction, because that's kind of the underlying fear for most people when we're talking about drugs and substances. But what our society hasn't had is a realistic conversation about what addiction really is and what it looks like right now. And the truth is, there are probably more middle schooler kids addicted to our cell phones than you can ever imagine. Addiction is addiction to dopamine. You don't get addicted to the substance. Alcohol and opiates give you a dependency, but the dopamine is what you're addicted to and what you come back for. And sugar gives you dopamine. I have a friend who is absolutely addicted to sugar. He can't eat without eating something full of sugar. And he's looking for that dopamine when he does it. Cell phones, we need to have a conversation about addiction, because this is my layman's theory, but the way I see the society right now, I think there's a realistic chance that almost everybody is going to become addicted to something in their lifetime moving forward in Western modern society. And that's the conversation we need to have when it comes to drugs and substances.
One of the things I often hear at these meetings is, you know, the kids. Brandon, that's a brilliant statement, addiction. And that's something that I'm going to invite you back on the show, and Chrissy also, because she's been giving some great input. But as an attorney, a defense attorney who practices law in a college town here at CMU, Fire Up Chips, these young kids come to school, these young adults, and they have Adderall prescriptions and Xanax prescriptions, and they're passing around this Adderall to their friends, which is a felony, by the way. Okay, it's a felony to share these narcotics with anyone, to distribute it and possess it. So you combine Xanax with Adderall and then alcohol. I don't need to tell you what's happening to our youth. That is a deadly combination. The Adderall, the Xanax, and the alcohol. And it's sad and scary.
I'm going to go back to Brandon. That whole addiction piece is so true. And I would challenge listeners out there about how many people placate their children, their young children, with their cell phones so that they can't be bothered, so that when you are out to dinner, the parents are having what? Glasses of wine that they're going to do what? Get behind the wheel to drive home with. So it's a great piece. And the other thing that I think is amazing is how or the point you brought up, Brandon, is that how our society, we have so many opportunities to talk about realistic things. I mean, just there have been teenage suicides that have gone on because of lethal mixings of things like you just talked about, Todd. And nobody brings an awareness of the conversation to that. They mourn and then they move on. And so there has to be these open conversations to bring it out, to dispel and dispute the fear that is going on, because it's false if you look at the research that's been going on.
And then I love politics, so I'll just bring this in there really quick. Part of what's going on is addiction is a political football right now. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed this, but a lot of people want to talk about addiction being a mental health issue, and I generally agree that it is at least a public health issue. But the implications on healthcare and the money and how that's spent, and if insurance covers it and all this stuff, that muddies the conversation. We can't just have a conversation about addiction because, well, who's going to pay for it? And are you really addicted, or are you just weak-willed and don't have the willpower to stay away from it? And the political end of addiction and healthcare and the money involved is convoluting the conversation.
That's where the real addiction problem is: money. People, everything is based on money. None of it's based on the goodwill of human beings. None of it is based on our society trying to help each other. It's all about who can make the most money out of it, or who can save the most money, or who can spend the most money. And that's where the real problem lies.
No, I agree. I don't know what the solution is. I would suggest, one, we got to get away from the tabooness of addicted. We don't talk about addiction because if you're addicted, well, that means you're a drug user. That means you have low morals, or you know, you're a bad person. And that's not the case, especially into the future. I promise you, there are way more 9-year-olds addicted to cell phones than we are realizing right now. And they're not bad people because they're addicted.
Yeah, cell phones, that's another whole show because, yeah. Think about what you're doing today. Look around the room, not only young people, but adults. I mean, communication is just... What is communication? Nobody communicates anymore. If you communicate, you could be sitting across the table from your child, and in order to communicate, you have to shoot them a text or Snapchat them or post a picture on Instagram. Hello, I'm your parent. Can you answer my question? I'll ask, you know, my kids who are adults, hey, I can't get a hold of your sister. Have you seen her storyline lately? What the heck is she up to? I haven't talked to her all day. I mean, that's the age of technology we live in. But, hey, this has been a great show.
Yes.
And we've been joined in studio by Chrissy Snow. Chris, we've been joined in studio by Chrissy Bethards.
Better known as Snow.
I've been referring to, no disrespect to, you know, her Bethards name or, you know, other half, but I know her as Chrissy Snow from CMU. She is a Zeta Tau Alpha. I'm a Sig Epsilon. We go way back.
Are you ready for this? Come and knock on our door. Come and knock on
Chrissy
our door.
Chrissy Snow, I didn't. We've been waiting Three's for company. You. Had no idea, Brandon.
Because the kisses are why it sounded so familiar. Now I understand.
Company too.
We've got superstars in studio. We've got Chrissy Snow and McQueen.
I know. Steve McQueen's here.
So stoked. So stoked to have Brandon in the studio. Brandon, you're both invited back to the show, but Brandon, you know, any shout outs out there you want to give out?
Well, yeah, actually, since I have the mic in my hand right now, I'm looking to get back into instructing Taekwondo here in the next couple months. I'm a second degree black belt. I was world champ in 2014, and I've been doing it for like 6 years. And but there needs to be a big enough class that makes it be a realistic possibility. So the next 6 weeks is I'm going to be looking for people who are interested in signing up and taking classes. And if we can get a good chunk to commit all at once, we'll do a Groupon type thing, and there'll be a real big discount on it.
And if anybody's interested in taking a class with Brandon McQueen on Taekwondo, go to my website, centralmichiganlawyer.com, centralmichiganlawyer.com. There's a contact info form. Send it out to me, and I'll put you in touch with Brandon. Is that good? Is that okay, Brandon? Unless you want to give out some info.
No, that's absolutely perfect. We have a Facebook page that we respond to on as well, Mount Pleasant Taekwondo.
Outstanding. Brandon, thank you for being on the show. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Craig.
We have to have, Chrissy has to wrap the show up this morning, and this makes perfect sense. Go.
Okay, well, so I'm not a badass Taekwondo black belt, second degree, but I am a humble teacher and a parent. And Todd, this is for you. In the great green room, there was a telephone and a red balloon and a picture of the cow jumping over the moon. And there were three little bears sitting on chairs and two little kittens and a pair of mittens and a little toy house and a young mouse and a comb and a brush and a bowl full of mush and a quiet old lady who was whispering, hush. Good night, room. Good night, moon. Good night, cow jumping over the moon. Good night, lights. Good night, red balloon. Good night, bears. Good night, chairs. Good night, kittens. Good night, mittens. Good night, clocks. And good night, socks. And good night, mouse. And good night, comb. And good night, brush. Good night, nobody. Good night, mush. And good night to the little old lady whispering, hush. Good night, stars. Good night, air. Good night, noises everywhere.
Craig Russell, I'm not just a little gator. I'm an advocator. Take us out.
Help me believe it's not the real me.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Happy Hydro in Gaylord and Petoskey, where the happy people go to grow, and Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.